Here on the D.M. Burley Show on republicbroadcasting.org. We're also on Blog Talk Radio. We're also simulcast tonight on Internet Chat Cafe, and that's in South America, to the thanks of Claudia Nelson. And we're going to have a very exciting program, folks, very exciting. We are going to have Dr. Judy Wood on. And she's going to explain her position, her paper, and in an almost lecture format here on what happened with the World Trade Center. We also have, as in the second hour, after Judy's presentation, you're going to have join us Professor Morgan Reynolds. He is a professor at Texas A&E University and director of Criminal Justice Center, and he also has written a number of reports of September 11th. He's a part of Scholars for 9/11 Truth. He feels that the World Trade Center was an inside job. We also will be joined by Alfred Weber, another distinguished panelist that has been involved as a judge in the tribunal in Asia concerning the issue of terrorism and what has basically been alleged that the United States has had involvement in. We also will have Loren Murray join us, geophysicist, well-known, renowned for her work in looking into the trade centers and all these phenomena that have been going on and plaguing us since this White House. So we're going to have a very, I would say, interesting program, to say the least. And also, in the beginning of this broadcast, I want to let you know that in order for you to understand everything that Dr. Wood is going to present, we have it set up on the Internet. So you go directly to the Internet site, and you look at the material that is there, and that material will guide you so you will understand fully Dr. Wood's material. And we'll be back with my co-host, Don Alastasis, when we start this broadcast in a moment. Hi, we're back, and we're live here, and it's Deanne, and we're on both RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. We're also being simulcast on to Blog Talk Radio and also Internet Chat Cafe. We're having a very interesting program. I'm going to bring John up, and I'm going to not delay too long for Judy's presentation. John, are you there?
Hi, Deanne, yes.
Hi, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. We're observing the weather modification between yesterday and today. They generated a tornado in our area yesterday, and today the chemtrail trails were very high and plentiful of many planes, and they've changed the weather from being a very hot summer to being very cool. It was like mid or 60s today for a high temperature today.
Well, that's going to be another program because there is something else going on here that needs to be reported. And I'm going to have it on a program tomorrow, folks. So please, you know, later after broadcast, go to my blog. Now, to get to this area that you need to go to follow Dr. Judy Wood's material, is to go to Deanne, D-A-N-N-E, dot X-T dot C-X, Deanne dot X-T dot CX. Again, Deanne.xt.cx. Very simple, easy. I put it together because I wanted to be able to have everyone go to this site. Now, it's a tutorial. It's set up with who's on the program. And towards the middle is information on Dr. Wood. And then the beginning of it is going to cover the material that we're going to be presenting here. I'm going to bring Dr. Wood on now. Doctor, are you there? Dr. Wood?
Hello, can you hear me?
Oh, now I can. How are you?
Hi. One thing people could do is go to the webpage, drjudywood.com.
Oh, I have this up on the page that I just announced. Everything is there.
Okay.
Your whole site is on there in regards to start through finish. So that's why I gave them deanne.xt.cx, and your site is there as well, and they can link on to that.
Or link to it, or you can go directly. Is Morgan going to be on tonight?
Yes, he's going to be in the second hour, but this is your hour, and I want you to do your full presentation, to talk about the material that you found and why you believe that there were no planes that hit the Trade Center building.
Let's see, that's Morgan's area, about the plane issue.
Oh, okay, there's no problem. I just want you to start with the analysis of the collapse and the time and the examples that you have from your site, if you wouldn't mind.
If we start the front page, the home page. Whoops. I had trouble getting there. what I like to stress is looking at the data. We look at the evidence. Don't worry about what the answer is. If you jump to the answer first, it's going to bias your observations. As I like to say, if we don't know what happened to the tower, but we know about slingshots, firecrackers, and BB guns, and bubble gum, must have been one of those four things. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. But instead of looking at it that way and limiting ourselves to only what we know, let's look at the data. The data will tell us what happened. And so how I started off with this, I wonder if my website went down. Something's happening.
I see the same thing. I don't know why. It says, you have something on there saying I had moved?
If you refresh it.
Oh, yeah, here it comes back up.
Okay. As I just added Morgan stuff to it, too. If you go to, like, right below the pictures, you'll mm-hmm. see a table with a bunch of information in it.
Okay.
And in the top part, you'll see... there's a Star Wars, in the far right corner, the Star Wars directed energy weapons. I don't know how familiar people are with that. That could take a long time to go through. We could look at just some general ideas. The part that I really like is the dirt series. And why don't we go to that? The little light blue one says molecular dissociation from dust to dirt.
Okay.
Let's click on that. And we come to a table of contents. And if someone later wants to listen to a radio show while walking through the web page, they can do that. There's several files available. The part that I like to start out with is Bush saying, "Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories concerning the attacks of September 11th." Why would he say a thing like that? Do you have any idea?
Well, cover up.
Deanne?
Yes, I'm hearing you. I'm sorry.
Why would he say a thing like that? Is it to direct people into staying on the mainstream and don't think of anything unusual?
Okay.
I think that's a hint that it's got to be something unusual.
Well, okay. Now, we're looking at this in the powder. Did you ever look into the situation of the lead powder for the building?
Starting out just... You know, getting on this page, thinking that if it's wild, they don't want us to go there, so we shouldn't let that hinder us. And I have this vocabulary list because if I don't know what the phenomenon is, I kind of want a placeholder, something to call it, so I can identify it in pictures until I start seeing what it means. So you may see on this Dirt One page this vocabulary list with lots of different new words: smoke ring, shaving creams, attack clouds, nanodust. And then we'll start with talking about the clouds. There's two big pictures. Do you have them on your screen?
Yes, I'm looking at them right now.
The snowball and the bubbler. Does that look like a collapse?
No, it does not.
And the bubbler, the snowball picture, to me, it says a lot, because whatever is happening to it is moving down the building faster than the free fall of gravity, because there's no solid chunks much below that. There's maybe some dust, you know, or something, but there's no big chunks. And there's not much above the snowball either. So the building is all kind of disintegrated into this round blob.
Well, what do you feel caused that? Now, from what people have been saying, they were saying there was detonation charges in the building. Some reports feel that happened. Others feel that it was the gasoline, the fuel from the planes themselves. From what you see, what do you think caused this?
I don't jump to any kind of conclusion, but as we move along, we can rule things out. In the other series, the Dew series, I went into this analysis about the bathtub and the seismic impact and how it was, not much of anything. It wasn't enough to damage the ground. So, wait, you have two quarter-mile-tall buildings, and you slam them down on the bedrock and it doesn't shake, the ground around it much? And actually, Building 7 made even a smaller impact, and it was equivalent to a jackhammer. A 47-story building goes away, supposedly hits the ground. Uh-uh. So that violates anything to do with a gravity collapse. If you had that much material slamming onto the ground, you would have had a big problem in Manhattan. Anyway, in the bubbler picture, you see stuff squirting up, moving outward, and then kind of like a drinking fountain.
Yeah, I'm looking at that. That's amazing. These are I never saw these pictures before, by the way.
Oh, really?
No, I didn't see these. Not these.
Volumes.
Yeah.
This is like a drinking fountain made out of dust. It's squirting up.
Yeah.
If it was a gravity collapse, or conventional controlled demolition, they use gravity to bust up the building. You take out the supports and drop the building onto the hard ground, and it breaks up as it hits the ground. This isn't breaking up as it hits the ground. This is breaking up before it hits the ground. That's what gets kind of peculiar. And
Let me ask you, too. It's kind of like it goes up in a V. There's a dark pillar of dust that goes upward. What would explain that? I've never seen that type of thing before.
They started out with, you know, what we were led to believe was smoke beforehand. And so you're led to believe that it keeps being smoke. That's part of the smoke screen. I don't know what that is, so I call it fumes. This is my generic term, fumes. Something. It could be chemical fumes. It could be fumes from fire. It could be, you know, dust in it. Who knows what it is?
Yeah, it's just amazing. It's like a big, round, circular bubble, and it's a white dust. And then at the top, it's like almost like a funnel. But then feel that these pictures have been... we're going to break. We'll be right back with this extraordinary bit of material when we return here with Dr. Judy Wood and John Alexander. Hi, we're back, and it's late night with Deanne on RPN, and we're here with Dr. Judy Wood. Judy, are you there?
Here. So, you're talking about the snowball cloud, and, the round one, and you see something above it? It looks like something is shooting up, but that big thing in the background, that is whatever it is coming from the other building. I don't know if you want to call it smoke or fumes, or the black stuff is from the building behind it, but the stuff you see in the foreground, you see like little fingers sticking up. So something is shooting upwards.
Yeah, it's amazing. I never saw this before. You want to keep going on this and explain?
Sure. In figure four, we notice we're just going to look at observations, you know, with this. And try hard not to make conclusions until we can't help ourselves. Figure four shows like the top part is dark and the bottom part is lighter in the mass of whatever it is, cloud stuff.
Yeah.
And it's weird how they're two different colors. And it's also getting shorter. It tips over, gets shorter. And the picture below that is a slightly later stage. You can still see it's gray on the top, but, you know, dark gray on the top, light gray on the bottom.
Right.
There's something about the two-tone colors.
Now, the next, amazing pictures.
The figure 8 and 9, those mm-hmm. are some of my favorites. Because as this stuff is shooting, you know, up and out,
yeah,
it's turning to dust in midair. You know, to smash something, if the floors were pancaking, they'd have to hit each other in order to turn into dust. This is turning to dust just in the air without hitting anything.
It's amazing, too, the building structure, too. It doesn't seem to have, you know, most of these buildings have like a area that it sways, you know, because of the, you know, wind shears at the top of the building. And this seems to just be staying straight up, and this thing is just powderizing as it goes down. And there's some chunks of debris, but it's just turning into powder. And the color is this brown, which is very strange. Go on. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
In figure 8, we'll notice, I call those sets of three outer columns that are in bundles.
Mm-hmm.
Call those wheat checks because they sort of look like wheat checks, especially when they're stabbed into the pavement at the bottom, you see them standing up. So that's just my term for these sets. So the steel wheat checks are flying through the air, turning into dust as they fall through the air. But the aluminum cladding from the outside of the building is not. You see in figure 8, you have those little sticks you see in the picture?
Yes.
They're not trailing dust.
And what would you say those little sticks are? Is that metal or?
The outside of the towers are solid columns.
Mm-hmm.
Not solid columns. They're steel. They're hollow. And then the outside of that, they just have like an aluminum tinfoil kind of coating. It's just thin just for good looks. It doesn't have any structural benefit, but it covers the entire outer part of the building. And those flew off separately, but did not trail dust. And in figure 9, you can see the steel trailing the dust, and then you see those other things, the little sprinkles kind of drifting out. They're not trailing dust.
So what would you, feel that is caused by? What
this tells us is that something affects the steel that does not affect the aluminum.
So now we're at figure 8. Now, with figure 9, we're down at the powderization on the street level.
That figure 10 and 11. This is after the towers have gone away. I don't say collapse. After they've gone away, we don't know what happened to them. We're standing in figure 10. We're standing looking north on West Street, and you can see building 7 kind of in the center of the picture in the distance. So we know this picture was taken on 9/11 because building 7 is still standing.
Let me ask you this, too. This is amazing, too. I'm looking at all this foot and dust and whatever, debris. How are people seeing things from the ground in that type of capacity?
What do you mean, how they're seeing it from the ground?
Well, you know, people were saying that they saw all kinds of things from that particular position, and because of the amount of dust and soot and debris that was falling into that, as shown in this picture, I would imagine that some of the things that, it would be very difficult to see whatever was going on at the top of the building.
You see this dust fountain that's coming down. In figure 10, you're looking straight over at building 7. If that picture was taken the day before, you'd have a big tower in the way. You should be seeing a tower there, a 110-story building, and it's gone. You see straight over there, you see a little bit of building 6 left, but not much. And on the right picture, figure 11.
We're going to stop again here for a break. We're with Dr. Judy Wood, and we're talking about her analysis of the World Trade Center and its collapse. We'll be returning in a moment.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Late Night with Deanne on RBN, and I'm on Truth Radio Monday through Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. And we're here with Dr. Judy Wood, and she's doing her presentation of what happened to the World Trade Center from her view and her information, and she has some startling facts. If you look at these pictures, to get to the pictures, if you go to Deanne.xt.cx, go to the middle of the page, and where it says start, click on that, and then you can start looking at the photographs as she goes through the presentation. The second hour, we're going to bring in Dr. Reynolds and Alfred Brenner Weber and Loren Murray to give more information on this nightmare that had occurred in New York City. Judy, you want to continue where you left off, please?
Yeah, I didn't know, wasn't sure how the show was going to be organized tonight. I thought Morgan and I were going to be on the whole time, but So I didn't know quite where to start. But
you're doing fine. It's just that I thought it would be better to give you the floor because you have a lot of material.
Yeah,
I thought it would be good to hear you, you know, describe and then have Dr. Reynolds on after to give his point as well.
I wasn't sure how familiar you are with the structure of the building, if you wanted to see what that looked like.
Yes.
Go to the top of the page.
Okay.
And see where it says Y, indeed. It's pretty much in the center. It's a right-hand yellow box.
Okay.
And if you click on that.
Okay.
Then you're onto a new page?
Yes.
Okay. If you spool down to, you'll see some dust, and then you see a structure of a building. It says Husky Beefy Beams.
All right.
That's when they're building the buildings.
And oh, wow, okay.
B, you'll see that there's some core columns in the middle, and then there's outer columns all around the outside, and then
mm-hmm.
the floors are bolted between the two. And it's sort of like the structure of a tree, you know, with rings.
Mm-hmm.
You have the inner ring and the outer ring, and then you have the mesh in between. And it makes for a very, very strong design.
Okay.
And in 3C, you can see, you know, how they're constructing it. And when they built it, they had cranes in the corners that would put the pieces into place. Now, in 3B, the one on the left is kind of a bluish tint to the picture.
Mm-hmm.
Down near the ground, you'll see that is a different outside color to the building. It's sort of a bluish silver color, and it's darker on the upper part.
Okay.
That light-colored stuff is the aluminum cladding. So after they built the outer structure, they would start putting this aluminum, let's call it decoration, on the outside. It was a protective kind of pretty covering on the outside of the building.
Mm-hmm.
All the way up.
Interesting. So looking at that, what do you determine in looking at the building itself as it was structured?
I just think it's a very strong building, and if you think of, you know, the Keebler elves, you know, they have a hole inside the tree where they live.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't really take away much from the tree's strength. You can have a lot of trees with rotten holes in them.
Uh-huh.
Because of the design, sort of a tube within a tube or box within a box. It's a very strong design and very compensating.
Now, from that design that you're looking at, and I'm looking at here on this page, if somebody designed it in that fashion, they were taking into consideration possibilities of other disasters later on that could happen. Would you not get that from that?
Yes, they designed it for a Boeing 707, which is pretty similar to the 767. One's a little heavier, one's a little faster. And they're you know, kind of equivalent, or you can say that the 707 would have done more damage. I mean, 720, yeah, I think it's a 707.
The 707 would do more damage, you would say?
Yeah, or about the same. You know, so they designed, you know, for this event.
And the 707 was a more heavier body plane, I would say. And the later models were made more lighter in structure. Would you, or how would you feel?
I'll let Morgan talk about that.
Okay.
But it was taken into account with the design
uh-huh.
of this building to be ready for a plane to hit it. After all, a plane had hit the Empire State Building.
Yeah, a long time ago. It did.
Right.
And there was another disaster similar to that in another state, I think. Was there not a, it was a smaller craft, but it hit a large building.
Right. It was just north of the World Trade Center area. Corey Lytle?
Yes.
It didn't take the building down. It actually left plane parts in the street. But But anyway, seeing what the building looks like, it's a very sturdy structure. And in 3A, you see those very husky, beefy beams. They're not just going to wilt all at the same time.
Now, looking at this, when you look at this design, and what is it, how does it differ than what that has been said by Dr. Jones and others as far as theory, or you don't want to go into that?
We're looking at the data first.
Okay.
Shall we go back to the other?
Yes, go ahead, sure.
Let's go back to where we were before on the Dirt 1 page. There you just hit the back button.
Mm-hmm.
And so you see the parts flying through the air. So the outer columns were covered with aluminum coating. And that picture where you have the guys walking, like, by the ambulance, figure 11, do you see the aluminum cladding laying there in the street? There's a guy with an orange vest on, emergency worker.
Yeah, I see that.
Okay, and just to his right, our left, there's the aluminum cladding in the street. So that remained. That didn't get destroyed, but you don't see the steel beams there.
Mm-hmm.
There were some somewhere, but
where did they go?
Yeah, where did it go? And if you look the other side, you can look straight through to the other street through the entire WTC complex.
Uh-huh.
And you can walk at ground level all the way through. You know, where'd the building go?
Well, let me ask you this, too. Do you have any pictures of these plane parts that were allegedly on the street?
Well, let's see. We can talk about that. We can go back to the other document, or we're going to talk about the dust. Which did you want to talk about?
Ian?
Hello?
Yeah, you hear me?
Yes.
Which did you want to talk about, the dust or the plane?
Let's go to the dust first, and then we'll work on the plane.
Okay, so below figure 10, 11, you see, the towers before and after.
Mm-hmm.
And in the before picture, figure 12, you see the little building down there on the left side of those towers?
Okay.
It's an eight-story building?
Mm-hmm.
That's building 6. You look right above there in figure 10 or 11. Figure 10, you can kind of see that six-story building on the other side of where the smoke-looking stuff is.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't see a tower. In other words, building 6 towers over the remnants of tower 1.
That's really strange.
Yeah, it's a huge 110-story building, and it goes down.
How is it doing that?
It was down to one story tall or less. So then we go down, we start noticing we have clouds that go up. 14 and 15, you can see clouds going up. And you notice that you get this light-colored stuff down below. And figure 16 is very interesting because you have the two-toned effect. Dark stuff going up and the white stuff going down.
Well, how is that? Who took these pictures? Do you have any idea?
There's a variety of them. Some I don't know the exact photographer, some I do. But where I get these pictures from, I have the source to each one. Now, figure 17 is interesting. You get the clouds going up, going horizontally, and all points in between. So it's not just a simple case of clouds going every which way. And figure 18 is very interesting. You notice in the streets where you see kind of a hazy mist, it's concentrated like it's coming up from the streets in those places.
Well, what caused that? If something's hitting above, a plane is hitting, or two planes are hitting above, what would cause that on the ground?
Oh, we're going to separate the events. Say something happened to the buildings. If it was a plane, if it was a missile, if it was a bomb, if it was something else, who knows? The building's got a hole in them. We saw a fireball come out. That's all we know. And we're looking at what happened when the buildings went away. And so they're injured, and then they went away. If they melted, why do we have all this dust? So that doesn't work. And if they fell down, you'd have a bigger hole in the ground.
Now, had you heard anything about the rumor that was circulating that there was the asbestos and lead removed and placed back in the building because they had nowhere in New York to place it, so they put it inside the wall paneling in Building 2? Had you heard anything about that?
What I have heard, and I think this is pretty... sure, that when they started building both of the towers, folks didn't really know yet that asbestos was bad, or they kind of knew it, but it was just in the process of being ruled upon. And Building 1, which started to go up first, the first 40 stories, you know, were already built,
mm-hmm.
asbestos, when they supposedly learned that there was a problem. And Tower 1 was starting to be built. This is somebody's... You know, one of the folks who there's reason to question their motive for saying this. Then they said that they took it all out. But another source said it was there the whole time and they were getting estimates on getting it removed. But they used to insulate buildings with asbestos.
Uh-huh.
It was common. Well, if you have 210-story buildings full of asbestos, what's going to happen? And how are you going to get it out? That's a problem.
That's an interesting thing. Now, we're going to be joined with Dr. Reynolds. He is here now. Dr. Reynolds, welcome to the Deanne Brolly Show. And we're here with Dr. Wood. I would wonder if you wanted to make a comment or a brief statement about where you come in as far as the World Trade Center issue.
It's interesting because I've gotten myself into a little bit of a box here in that now I'm viewed as a no-plane specialist, but I actually started out wanting to know everything about everything, and that's my real role. I view myself as a prosecutor who's gathering the case, doing the criminal investigation to prosecute the real perpetrators, and Dr. Judy Wood is the foremost physical scientist in the 9/11 investigation. And one of the things you can learn from her that's really the most important about doing science is that you've got to look at the data with a clean mind. Not any preconceptions about what the media or the government maintains or somebody said to somebody else, hearsay. You've got to, I think the physical evidence is the most important part about the investigation of 9/11. So my specialty, if you will, despite the fact that I think of myself as a generalist, is the no-plane issue. And you earlier discussed the 707 aircraft, and that one is very similar to the 767 Boeing that allegedly, one copy of each supposedly hit each tower. For example, the wingspan of a 707 is 146 feet, and the 767 is 156 feet. The length of a 767 is 159 feet, which is 7 feet longer than a 707. So they're very similar. The 707 had a higher cruising speed of 607 miles an hour. Supposedly, the 767 is 540. So they're very similar. The 767 is a somewhat heavier aircraft.
Well, the thing is it's just amazing. I want to ask you more. We're going to go to break in a minute about this aircraft and the speeds. It just, all this stuff doesn't really make sense. I mean, it defies logic, what happened on this date. And I just wanted to let the listeners know that you are a professor with the University of Texas, correct?
No, Texas A&M University.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The University of Texas would disavow me, yeah.
Okay, Texas A&M University, and you were the former director of the Criminal Justice Center at the National Center of Policy in Dallas, Texas, correct?
Right.
And the thing is that you brought this information while you were in that department, the question, and how were you greeted in the White House when you said that 9/11 was an inside job?
Well, yes, I was chief economist with the Bush-Cheney administration in the U.S. Department of Labor, not in the White House.
Oh, okay.
For 16 months in 2001-2002.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can say in their honor, so to speak, that they have never contacted me. Now, some people have, of course, when it became known in June 2005 that I believed that 9/11 was an inside job, and I can prove it. So, but actually, most of the trouble comes from the 9/11 truth movement attacking me and Judy Wood and other real truth seekers.
Well, we're going to talk more about that when we return here on Republic Broadcasting with Dr. Judy Wood and Professor Reynolds when this break is over. Thank you. Hi, we're back, and we're here with Dr. Judy Wood and Professor Reynolds, and we're going to be talking to them at the beginning of the next hour, and I want to switch over to my co-host, John. John, how do you feel about what you heard so far on this broadcast?
Well, it's very interesting and very convincing.
If you see these pictures, it's amazing. These pictures I've never seen before, and it makes a lot of sense. Dr. Wood, I am very impressed with this material, and folks, you need to look at this, because if you see what's going on, it just amazes me to the fact that there is something a lot more complex than what has been told to us before. And when we come up into the next level of this broadcast, we're going to talk about the no planes and the issue of what they were doing with the Star War technology weapons that go back to the Reagan administration. If you go to the blogger that I have up, you will see a lot of information on the Star War weapons, and we're going to talk about that because, again, we have no clue. We have no clue here of how deep this is, and no one could have been able to pull this off from outside. This is a definite looking glass into an inside operation. The mechanics, the amount of planning and preparation to putting this together, it would not be from foreign means coming in and plotting this. This is entirely impossible. Judy, you want to say something here about that?
I would really like to, show the...
I'll just ignore that. That's my computer.
I would really like to, cover the data enough so that people can, you know, see for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
What it is rather than being told. I think that there's a lot of danger in how our system is operated, just always telling people what to think, what their opinion is. That's what our TV sets do. But that's why I've laid out these web pages for people to look at what really is going on, and I'd really like to get through more of it. So I've shown how the dust comes down to the ground and there's not much left. That's pretty basic, but then what happens after the stuff comes down? You know, the dust comes down, you start noticing these cars that are just fuming. They're not really on fire. You know, like figure 19, they're just disintegrating. You see the cars disintegrating.
Yeah.
And then figure 20, you notice that all the cars along that street have these fumes coming up off of them. And you know, they have these clouds that roll down the streets, And if you jump down to figure 33,
mm-hmm.
you're looking at a street adjacent to building 6. And you can see off in the distance the parking lot that's on fire. There's a guy there in a brown jacket, emergency jacket. This is mm-hmm. figure 33. And you see, like, ankle-deep paper in the streets. How did those cars get on fire a couple blocks away?
That's, I don't know. That's amazing. Looking at this, I'm just flabbergasted. We're going to be back. We're going to the break, and we're going back to the beginning of the hour. And you need to see this. And do it and think of it yourself. We'll be right back on RBN.
With recent...